Well, how's everyone doing this morning? You guys are good? Excited about today? Right now, I want to go to Psalms chapter 34, beginning at verse 18. It says this, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit." And I'm going to stop right there. That verse really popped out to me because as we've been talking about the heart and we've been really dealing with issues of things that can really attack your life and your heart, and we've been really, really strong about your guard. And we've reached things like guilt and bitterness and division and all this thing. And last week was phenomenal when we went into the mouth. But there's another attack taking place that a lot of you may not realize that's very effective. And that is a broken heart. Could anyone relate to a broken heart today? Yeah, we can relate to someone that broke your heart or that crush that you had that actually crushed you. Or, hey, you know, I really just, I had hope and I had dreams, but my heart is just, it's just so broken right now. And we use that term to describe pain and agony. And it brings such sadness when you see your little boy, your little girl's heart get broken. Amen, parents? Or when you just relate to a broken heart. The Bible talks about broken hearts. Throughout the entire Bible, you will read of people that describe to God their broken heart. Jesus himself used the reference of a broken heart. So the broken heart is a term that goes way back. It's not something that we picked up currently. People have had broken hearts since the beginning of time. And that's so interesting to me. And when we read about the heart, we've been talking about how the heart means life. When the Bible talks about your heart and you've heard, oh, surrender your heart to Jesus, what it's really talking about is your life. And when it speaks of your life, it also means your inner self, your thoughts. That's what it means to have a heart. And we've established that. But what does it mean to be broken? To be broken is to suffer damage. Damage that can go beyond repair. Damage in which it can never be the same again. And what's so fascinating to me is how when the Bible talks about a broken heart, what it's talking about there is a life, your life, that's been damaged. Your life that's been broken by someone. Your life that you look at and you say, well, it can never be the same again. You ever say that? Or things will never be like what they used to be. And it'll never get changed. It'll never get fixed. And when I look at my life, it just seems so broken. It will no longer be in working order. That's what that word damage literally translates. So when the Bible is talking about a broken heart, when David wrote that verse, what he's saying here is, God, my life right now, it's been damaged. Anyone been damaged in life before? That's why I want to speak on this subject. Because if you haven't, you will. Someone will break your heart. Some circumstance will break your heart. And when you keep reading here, it says it also crushes your spirit. Why did David throw that in there? Why did David write about a crushed spirit? When I read that word crushed in the original Hebrew when this verse was written, it's the word deka in the Hebrew. And that word deka literally means to crumble, to fall apart. And when it talks about your spirit, it's talking about your relationship with God. The Bible describes your spirit as love and joy and having peace and patience. It's talking about strength. So what David is saying here is, God, my spirit, my love, my commitment for you, my strength, my life is crumbling right now. I say this to tell you that that entire verse, if you can put it all together, means, God, my life is damaged. It feels like it's beyond repair. God, it's crumbling. And my spirit is being affected right now. So can you relate to this verse today? When you've been so damaged by someone, when you've been so hurt by a circumstance, that it can really just crush you. I gotta tell you, I was at Starbucks on Friday, right before going to church. But before I go to church, almost every Friday and every Sunday and every Wednesday that I go to church, I have to go to Starbucks. I need coffee before I'm up here. I need the Holy Spirit, yes, but I also need coffee, because without that, it's not a pretty sight. So I go to Starbucks like I usually do. But on Fridays, I'm in a particular hurry. So what I do, if the drive-thru is too full, I'll go right in. And the guy there already knows the routine, so he'll have the coffee ready there. So I'll go in, I'll grab it, give a nod, and go away, right? And what's interesting is that I did my routine. I went in there, I was focused, there it was. I grabbed my coffee, I said, thank you, Chris, and I gave him the nod. And as I was going, a friend of mine was there. And this guy I've known for about a year. And how we met was at Starbucks. And the thing is, what brought us together was chess. I love playing chess. I'm not very good, but I love it. Makes you look smart, so it's really awesome. So I'm here playing chess. This guy sees me playing chess. He joins in, and I had a chess partner for the last year. So at least twice a week or so, I will go to Starbucks, and we play chess for a few hours. And we talk, and he's one of these guys. He's, you know, middle-aged. He's experienced life. He has so much wisdom, and he's always talking about life, and he's such a happy guy, right? And anyway, as I make my way and I'm shooting out the door to go to church, you ever ask someone, hey, how are you doing? Anyone? You really don't want to know, right? It's not really a question where you really, hey, how are you? You know, it's one of these questions we ask people just out of common courtesy. Hey, how are you? And of all the days that I'm in a hurry, I pop that question without really caring or meaning where he was in life, I'll be honest with you. And he says, oh, sit down, I want to tell you. And I was like, oh. And I actually sat down. And he began to tell me how he was. He's never been like this. And he tells me, I don't have anyone to talk to. He starts pouring his emotions on me. I lost my job a year ago. I haven't found work. I'm doing odd jobs everywhere, getting whatever money I can scrape up just to survive. Because of this, my wife of 16 years left me. She took the kids, moved to another country. I can't find them. I'm alone with tears. He's holding back the tears. Life can change just like that. You're grabbing coffee and then someone is just pouring a story like that on you. So then I really got comfortable because I knew I wasn't going anywhere for a while. So as I sat down with him, he begins to just pour his heart of everything. Things he told me were shocking of what he's going through. And it broke my heart. Because the term he used was, David, I'm broken. I'm done. He said this, I'm at this point where I know I've reached the end. I'm done. You ever feel like that? So as I'm talking to him, and he's talking about his brokenness, one of the things that really scared me, as we talked and I got back in my car to go to church, was I had no idea that he was going through this. Can I tell you, the reason I tell you this is because that person next to you that smiles and laughs is broken. That person that wants to pretend their lives is all together and everything's fine, they're probably broken. That couple that looks happy, that family that looks together, they're probably broken. We have a way of hiding our brokenness. We have a way of convincing the world that we're okay, And here I am for that past year that he's going through this, and all I'm thinking is trying to get him on checkmate, trying to beat him, trying to just win and have a casual conversation. For the past year, I've been in front of this guy, and I had no idea that he was going through this. And he said, I finally broke. I had to tell someone. And the first person I thought was a pastor. And I said, oh my God, I know one. And then you walked in. And he freaked out. And he just poured his heart out. And it just pierced my heart. Because he's describing his brokenness. You know what I wonder? Like that guy, maybe that's what you look like. You have the smile. You have the laughter. You have the walk where everything's fine. You have that confidence that you portray that everything's in order in your life. But I wonder if anyone would really know what's in your heart. The things that scare you, the things that are making you feel guilty, the things that are breaking you right now. I wonder if it would shock all of you if I would put on this screen the real you. Can you imagine right now, Jenny, just boom, your real heart? Can you imagine, Willie, right now everything that you feel and everyone knows? Would it be such a shock factor? Because all of us have a way of covering our brokenness. You know why? Because we have this society that's convinced that your brokenness is a sign of weakness. Amen? And we have this way of saying, if someone's hurt, oh, it's because, you know, they're sensitive. If someone's scared, oh, it's because you're weak. If someone is crying, oh, pretty, wipe those tears off. I'm telling you, we have a way of saying a broken heart, really? Is it really wrong to feel broken? Is it really wrong to really be honest with someone? To say, hey, I'm really hurting right now. I'm really in pain right now. I'm really suffering right now. But we have this persona that we have to appear strong and connected and together and everything's fine. But we serve a God that he sees through all that. And he sees the real heart. And he sees your brokenness. He sees the things that causes you shame. He sees the thing that causes you fear. He sees that which causes worry and doubt. He sees that which has you broken. But we're convinced we can't tell people. We can't tell God. Because I have to pretend that I'm okay. Amen? Today I want us all to really confess to God that you're broken. Something in you has you broken in your heart. When David wrote this verse, David understood what a broken heart was. David, that we admire for being such a great godly king, let me tell you something, wasn't so godly. David, for being such a great leader, he failed and made a lot of mistakes. David appeared to be this great, righteous, spiritual man, but behind closed doors, he was living a life of sin and brokenness. And when he wrote that, he had credibility to say, yeah, I know what a broken heart is. And you know, one of the most fascinating verses I've ever read is Psalm chapter 22. When David described this to God as he's praying, Psalm chapter 22, verse 15. Look at this. It says, my strength is dried up. Anyone relate? Yeah? You know, my strength is dried up. And this is the NIV, which they took away this word, and I don't know why, but it says, my strength is dried up. O Lord, my life is like a potsherd. David wrote that, and I'm going to explain what this verse is all about. David wrote, and he said, God, my strength is gone. God, I can't take it anymore. God, my life is a potsherd. David understood hopelessness. David understood pain and struggle. And he described it as a potsherd. And you're thinking, okay, but what does that mean? A potsherd was a huge pile of broken pottery. In every potter's house, there was beautiful pots, there was beautiful artwork to be sold in the marketplace. But in every potter's house, there was this one room called the potsherd. And the potsherd was a room dedicated to broken pieces of pottery. When you went in that room, it was chaos. It was horrific. It was pots that had potential but didn't make it. It was pots that looked beautiful, but something happened that just shattered them. They fell, they slipped. When you went inside a potsherd, that room, it represented brokenness. Do you understand that once a pot broke, to other people, it was considered hopeless and gone. Get rid of it. Let's dump it. And that was the potsherd. It was a herd filled with pots that were broken and useless. When David described his life to God, what he's saying is, hey, God, my life is not like this. I am not beautiful. I am not complete. My life is not together. God, can I describe my life to you? My life is this. My life is a potsherd. God, I'm broken. God, I feel hopeless right now. I feel useless, like I'm good for nothing right now. And David is pouring out his heart as he's praying and describing himself as broken, useless. Why was he hopeless? You know, the Bible is not clear why he said his life resembled this. But if you know the story of David, I wonder, did he feel like this because of all the people talking bad about him? Did he feel like this because of all the gossip and criticism? Did he feel like this because his closest friends abandoned him? Did he feel like this because one day he found himself alone in a dark cave, cold, with no one to comfort him? And maybe you feel like this because you feel that hopelessness of someone that should have been there but wasn't. That person should have raised you, but they didn't. That person should have been there for you, but they abandoned you. Maybe you're here and you feel that hopelessness because that friend betrayed you. There's a lot of people that go through heartbreak because of people. Amen? And there's a lot of people that all you have to do is leave them to break their hearts. There's a lot of divorced people that will tell you, I feel broken. There's a lot of people that lost a friend. There's a lot of people that didn't have the parents. There's a lot of people that experience that isolation of loneliness like David did. And maybe that's why you feel hopeless like him. So it could have been that. Maybe the potsherd he was describing in his life was the sin he was in. David, being such a godly man, had a sexual addiction. He committed adultery. He murdered someone. And as he committed that sin, he left and he thought it was fine, and he went and he worshiped God, and people idolized him. People said, man, what a godly man. But inside his heart, he knew he was living wrong. Inside his heart, he knew the sin he was in. And maybe that's what made him feel useless, like a hypocrite and broken. Maybe that describes you. There's things in your life that if people found out about you, God forbid. You put this persona that you're spiritual and you serve in the ministry, or you hold a Bible real nice in your hand and you know the Christian lingo, but there's things in your life that God looks at that's like, really? There's addictions in your life that you're ashamed of. There's sin in your life that maybe that's what has you broken. Maybe that's what David was feeling. The fact that he was being a hypocrite made him feel useless to God. Maybe David felt beyond repair because of his sin. Because that's what a potter's herd was. It was pieces that were beyond repair. And I hear this all the time in the church. They can change, but not me. Well, God does that for them, but he will never do that for me. Well, they got over that, but I can't. Well, God can heal them, but he can't heal me. Well, you know, God can really work in their lives, but you don't understand. You ever say that? You don't understand what I've done. If you knew where I was coming from, how can God really want me when I fill in the blank? Maybe that's why David felt this way. Maybe that's why you feel this way. Wherever you're at in life, you might feel like a potsherd yourself, like David described. Broken. Anyone here failed before? What a way to end up in the potsherd, right? What a way to really say, God, you're done with me. Because I should have and I didn't. I could have and I didn't, God. You know that David had that failure mentality. You imagine that King David himself, a godly man, had a broken family. He had a broken home. Hey, Dad, how did you meet Mom? Oh, I killed her husband and slept with her. What a great story to tell your kids, right? And his son raped his sister, Tamar. Absalom, another son, got upset, killed the brother, then tried to kill David. Talk about not being a proud parent. Put that bumper sticker away that says, oh, I'm proud, you know? David felt that failure as a parent. As a father, he said, why did my kids turn out this way? And he blamed himself. If maybe it's because I did this. Oh, I should have been there more. I should have done this. And he felt the broken pottery. He felt the potsherd. Maybe that's why he described this to God. If I would have been there for my kids, they wouldn't be this rebellious. They wouldn't be this far from God. And I hear a lot of parents blame themselves for their kids' sin and mistake. But let me tell you that when they stand judgment, do you think God's going to have you there representing them? So why is it that here on earth you're doing it? Why do you blame yourself for your kids' rebellion? Amen? Why do you beat yourself up? Maybe you feel like that. He felt like a failure as a king. As a godly man, he failed. Those are just some of the reasons that maybe he described himself as a potsherd. When David saw himself, do you realize that he told God, God, this is what I look like? God, people think this is me. People think I have it all together. People look at my life and they think I'm perfect and that you're doing such a great work in my life. But if people really knew what I'm feeling, if they really understood what's in my heart, they would see the mess and the brokenness that I feel. They would see how useless, how guilty I feel. But what do we try to show people? This side of us. Amen? But God knows the things in your life are causing you to have a broken heart. You keep looking at your past, your failures, your struggles, and it breaks your heart. When you're in the potsherd, your spiritual life gets affected. Negatively. When you're in the potsherd, you can't pray to God. You can't worship God. You condemn yourself. You don't feel that joy for God like you used to. When you're in the potsherd, you can't approach God because the condemnation, the brokenness just hits you. the fear, the loneliness just hits you. And there's a lot of people today that are in there. There's a lot of people in the church that have a broken heart. And maybe that's you. Maybe that's you listening online right now. I don't know who you are, where you're coming from, but God does. And He knows the things that are causing you to feel this way. But can I tell you something? You're saying, David, I get it. You're right. I feel this way. I'm broken. I feel like God can never love me again. I feel like I'm useless to people. I'm useless to church. I'm useless in life. David, you got me. This is what I am. Now what? I'm glad you asked. The Bible has a way of describing God in many ways. But one of the most beautiful ways that He describes Himself is the book of Jeremiah, and He says, "You are the clay, and if you know it, finish it off. I am the potter." He describes you as a clay. He says, and that's not pretty. Have you seen clay lately? That's an insult. But what God is saying is, you're right, you're broken, you're not complete, but I'm a potter. Why do you think a potter had a room dedicated to broken pieces of pottery? I didn't get it, but it made sense. You know that the potter dedicated a room just for the broken, just for the useless. Oh, that room's for the hopeless. That room is for those who don't have it together. Those are for the damaged ones. Why keep them then, potter? Why? You know, because everyone else that walked through the potter's house to go and see the beautiful vessels, to see the beautiful artwork, to see what they can buy, they had to bypass that room, and they would see that and they would say, my goodness, why would you keep that? Every potter had a potsherd room. And for this reason, even though it's broken, yes, you're right, it's useless. Everyone walked by it, didn't look twice. They wanted to see these people. They wanted to see this pottery. They wanted to see the complete, beautiful ones. But the potter will look at that broken pottery, because they will get the broken pottery. They would get a rough edge, begin to cut around it, and mold something else from it. Archaeologists have found beautiful things made out of potsherd. For instance, some of the tools that they use to go into the river and scoop up water into the jar came from a potsherd. One of the beautiful things that potsherd had when they needed to dig in the garden, what do you think they used? Potsherd. A broken piece of pottery. They would use it to dig, and the potter would make a beautiful little shovel. I had a privilege once of going to Georgia, to Emory University. My mom surprised me with this, because they had an exhibit of actual artifacts from Israel, and they flew me over there to go see this, because it was a once in a lifetime thing, and there was manuscripts and beautiful tombs and all this stuff. And one of the most beautiful things I saw was a mosaic painting there, a mosaic sculpting, you know, and it was of King David, believe it or not. And they got different pieces of stone and different pieces of rock to make this beautiful image, but way down to when you see the details of David, it was pieces of clay, broken pottery that they used to make this beautiful piece of artwork. That's what it was used for. That's why the potter would keep it. Because even though the world said useless, even though the world said hopeless, even though the world said it's too late, you've fallen too bad, you've hit the end, that potter looked at them and said, you're wrong. I can still use it. I still have a purpose for it. I haven't given up on it. If someone has given up on you, if someone has you feeling hopeless and useless, if you're telling yourself you're hopeless and useless, if you've fallen, you can get up, because we serve a potter. We serve a God that looks at you and said, I am not done with you. Yes, you're broken. Yes, you've made a mistake. Yes, you're in pieces right now, and you're shattered and you're damaged. I was there. I saw what you did. I saw your failures. And everyone else, including yourself, could say that it's over. But I have a special place for you, because I'm not done with you yet. Can we give God some praise for his amazing love to say, wow, you mean to tell me that God sees my broken heart and says, I can still fix it? Even though this person said this and this person did that, you know, God, man, he... Imagine if the pottery can speak. They will tell you, I remember being in the potter's house, and I remember everyone walking by and just admiring the beautiful. They would admire this pottery, and they would imagine that guy, and they loved him and they loved her. But I remember that no one looked at me, no one saw me, and they only saw my brokenness. But man, the potter would hold me, and he would reshape me, and he would remold me for another purpose. What love, what grace to say, I'm not going to get rid of you. I'm not going to dump you. I still have a purpose for you. And that's what God says when he sees you. And I'm tired of hearing people describing themselves as useless to God. God's tired of hearing people saying, oh, because of this and because of that, God is done with me. If God was done with you, there would not be any breath in your lungs right now. You would be dead. How many of you are alive right now? Then yes, praise God, because he still has a plan for your life and he still has a purpose for you. Amen. Like, you mean it. We have an amazing God that looks at you and he says, I know your failures. I know your weaknesses. I know that. But I have a special place for you, that though the world may reject you, I will receive you, according to the Bible. Yes, you're not the perfect parent. You're not the perfect child. You're not the perfect Christian. And do you think God looks at you and says, like the world, I'm just going to reject you? I'm just going to dump you? God doesn't want you to have a broken heart. God doesn't want you to have a broken mentality. Don't let it damage you any longer. He loves you. One of the things that I love is Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 through 4. Isaiah 61 is one of the most phenomenal verses you will ever read. It says, the Spirit of the Lord, of our sovereign Lord, is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up what? The brokenhearted. To proclaim freedom for those who are in bondage. So he says, I'm here to heal the broken people. I'm here to free the captive, release them from their dark prison. That describes someone here today. And to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Do you know that this was a prophecy of Jesus coming? This was written 700 years before Christ was born. You want to know, this verse shows you the kind of God you have. Jesus would come to this broken world for the broken people. I don't remember Jesus ever going straight into the world. Okay, we're the perfect people. I need a hand with them because I'm perfect. I don't see Jesus saying, oh, I need the religious people. I need the people that know their Bible. That's who I need to hang out with. I see something different. I see Jesus going to the drunks, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, those that were lying, cheating, living in sin. Those are the people that God was saying, I want them. Jesus came down and says, I need touch them. I need to be there. And Jesus came there. And he would touch the broken. He would heal the hearts of those that had no hope. That's the God that you serve. Jesus came not for the perfect, but for the broken. And some of you feel that rejection because you think perfection is what God is looking for, but that is impossible. Understand that. But in Christ, you are made perfect. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that covering is what makes you presentable to God. But the reason so many people live in guilt and condemnation is because they're trying to achieve perfection. I need to be that perfect Christian. I need to read the Bible like the entire thing in 6 weeks. I need to memorize all these verses. I need to do this. I need to do that. God is saying, hey, slow down. Because that's not making me love you any more or any less. Thank you for receiving that. A lot of us need to receive this. Because so many of us are just seeking perfection so we can ignore the brokenness. But when you read Isaiah 61, Jesus is saying here, I'm coming for you. If you're broken, if you're hopeless, if you're living a life of sin and loneliness, yeah, I'm aiming at you. And that's who he came for. I might change the name of Forward Fellowship to the Potsherd Church. I don't know. Because, man, when I go in this church, there's a lot of broken people. And that's what God wants. That's what God is looking for. So why would you feel that brokenness when you know fully well that he loves you? Why would you allow that person that hurt you, that person to abandon you, to separate you from God? Why would you allow the circumstances of your life that have caused severe pain to break your spirit, to crush your spirit like David described? A broken heart is not from the Lord, I am sorry. But it is a way that the devil uses to get you far from God. And someone here is far from God because they feel like they can never come close to God. But when we read that verse in Psalm 34:18, it says the Lord is close to who? The brokenhearted. Do I need to explain what the word close means? He's close to you. He's closer than you think. Some of you think he's so far from you because of what you've done or what you're living like or what you're not. He's close. Jeremiah 19, verse 2. I'm going to read verse 1. This is what the Lord says. Go and buy what? A clay jar from the potter. Take along some of the elders of the people and the priests and go out to the valley of Ben-Hinnom. Now notice this. Near the entrance of what? The Potsherd Gate. This verse is so out there because this is when Israel was living in sin. They were broken. They felt hopeless and useless. And he calls Jeremiah to bring a message of hope, saying, if you would repent of your sins, I will put you all back together. But he mentioned a gate called the Potsherd Gate. The Potsherd Gate was in the east side of Jerusalem. It was on the east side of Jerusalem that Jesus would one day walk and see the leper and touch him. He would walk and see 10 lepers and heal them. The Potsherd Gate was all the rejected people that were living bad. Those were the sick people. Those were the people in society that people ruled out as useless. And it was a slang to say, oh, you're going to the Potsherd Gate. Yeah, that's where all the broken, useless people go. And he says, get a complete jar. You go to that gate and you're going to see a lot of broken people. And I want you to grab that clay pot. And Jeremiah, do me a favor, smash it. Why do you think he did that? Notice who he said to bring with him. The priest and the elders. The holy people. The good people. So he leads all these religious, perfect people where all the rejects are. And the way I read it, he says, oh, you think this is what you look like? Let me tell you something. Throw them out. Boom. He breaks apart and says, now you see what you really look like. You're not so perfect. You're not so spiritual. You're not so complete as you think. You're just like all of them that you criticize. You're just like everyone else that you look at that gate and say, oh, I couldn't believe they're like this. Oh, the nerve of that person. Oh, I would never. And he brings all these religious people and said, you're just like these broken people. But Jeremiah proclaimed that through that gate will come the Savior of the world. Do you realize that Jesus Christ walked that same potsherd gate? As he walked through and he saw the person that said useless, he saw a blind man there on the side of the road on the east side of Jerusalem. And he would heal him there. Maybe you feel like you're in that gate. You feel like you belong to the useless, the broken, the hopeless. You're right, we all do. But that's why Jesus came. To bring healing and hope. The Lord heals the brokenhearted. The Bible says he binds their wounds. Anyone broken here today? God knows. And he loves you. He's not done with you. He has a special place for you. Stop looking and dwelling on your failures. Stop comparing yourself to those that present themselves as complete and perfect when they're not. Stop looking at what you're not and who you could be in Jesus. Stop looking at your past failures. Stop looking at your weaknesses. Stop dwelling in that potsherd. Stop looking at yourself and saying, I'm useless. I'm hopeless. I'm good for nothing. God can never love me. God, I can never change. God will never change me. No, not me. Them, yes, but not me. We serve a God that says, I'm close to you. I'll heal you if you call upon me. And Jeremiah, he says, call upon the name of the Lord, humble yourself, and return to him. And he will restore you. He will show you great and mighty things. That prayer was said on the east side gate. With all the potsherd people. Can you imagine sitting there feeling hopeless and broken? And everyone and all the religious people are there and they're like, oh, and you feel this isolation. And a pastor comes and he says, look, you're not the only one that's broken. But God loves you. And he has plans for you. And he's not done with you. Because this pastor is here today to tell you that. In accordance to the message of the Lord. Would you receive it this morning? Can we bow our heads where we're at? Do you feel like the Lord is near you? For some, the answer is no. For some, you say, no, God is far from me. No, maybe you're far from him. But he's not far from you. Examine yourselves and ask yourself, could it be that I'm right and you feel broken? You feel useless. You feel like you're in that gate. Let me tell you something that you need to receive. Give Jesus a chance to heal your brokenness. Stop dwelling on the past. Stop dwelling on those that hurt you. Stop dwelling. You need to get out of that potsherd mentality realize that you are not useless. We serve a God of many chances. And this is not a sermon to encourage you to keep sinning. This is a sermon to telling you to stop sinning, repent, turn to the Lord, because He still loves you. Look at your life right now. So many of you find other motives and ways to escape your brokenness. Has it really helped? Give Jesus a chance to heal your brokenness. Father, I lift up every soul here this morning. I pray for those who have a spirit of a potsherd, a spirit of brokenness over them, a spirit of uselessness, condemnation. I pray in Jesus' name, Father, that you will lift them up in such a way that they would acknowledge that they are very much still in your hands and that you still have a plan and a purpose for them. This is for all of us, Lord. We know that we are still in your hands. We are still the clay and you are still the potter. And though the world rejects us, you will not. You have received us mightily. If you're here this morning and you're in the potsherd, you're saying, Pastor, I'm broken. I feel like a failure. I'm a failure as a husband. I'm a failure as a wife. I'm a failure as a Christian. I'm a failure. I'm useless to God. I feel that way. With every head bowed and every eye closed and no one looking around to judge, I'm telling you, right where you're at, would you raise your hand up and say, Pastor, that's me. God bless you. You in the room, you as well. You, God bless you. And you, so many people here this morning. You keep those hands up where you're at. You pray this with me where you're at. From your heart, you say, Lord, I receive your forgiveness. I receive your love. And you admit to him where you're broken, where you failed. Open your heart to him and say, Lord, this is where I feel that I've messed up and this is why I feel useless. Now give that to him. Father, with every hand raised, I pray that you would fill their hearts with hope. Fill their hearts, Lord, with this amazing love, knowing that you are still very much a part of their lives and you still have a plan for them. Heal the broken hearts according to your word. You say you heal the broken. In Jesus' name and in your power, Lord, take healing now in this place for all those that need it. If you're here this morning, you want to give Jesus a chance, you're saying, what does that look like? It's admitting that you're a sinner, admitting that you're not perfect, and that you're in need of forgiveness and help. Can I just tell you that Jesus came for you? Well, I'm not perfect, then you qualify. Well, I've messed up, then you're there. You need him, and he's offering it. The question is, will you receive it? It's the greatest opportunity of your life to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. What do I have to do? You don't have to do anything. There's no works that can save you. Just acknowledge, agree with God that you're not perfect. Agree with God that you are a sinner. And ask for forgiveness. And receive him today as the payment of your sins, the Lord of your life. And surrender to him. If this is your prayer, say, Pastor, I need that and I receive that. Would you just raise your hand up where you're at? You hold it high. God bless you. You back there and you as well. And you. Pray this with me from your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I confess, I agree that I'm a sinner. Today, Lord, right now in this very moment, I give you my broken heart. And I surrender to you. Today, Lord, I humble myself and ask you to be the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. You give all these people a round of applause and encouragement. It's the greatest decision. That's it. Can you stand up to your feet as we worship? Those who prayed that prayer with me, if you'd be ever so brave to come to the altar, I want to know you. I want to pray over your life and pray over you. It's not going to save you more. You're already there. But if you're in need of prayer today, I'd love to be up here and just pray over you as we worship. In Jesus' name. Man, a lot of healing took place today, huh? Give God some thanks for that and some praise for that. And for those who surrendered their lives humbly to the Lord, can we give them thanks and can we give God some praise for them? Come on, encourage. It's the greatest decision of your life. And you welcome them to the family of God. Let us pray today. Father, thank you for this message of hope, encouragement. Father, thank you for your love that we don't deserve. Father, we deserve to be dumped for the broken people that we are. But thank you, Jesus, because of your death on the cross, not because of anything we've done, but because of what you have done, Lord, we are complete and find healing for our brokenness. Father, I pray that this message today penetrate deeply within our spirit and our heart. Whenever that feeling of brokenness and uselessness comes, let us remember this word, that you, Father, are the potter, and you still work miracles, and you still love us. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Awesome. I feel very alive. Man.